But for this cartoon-like imagery, 16 is plenty. Digitally, it's 480 by 640. 480 vertically by 640 horizontally. Oh. The color table stores 10 bits for each primary. Okay. And the reason for that is merely that the D-Day converters happen to have 10-bit inputs, so why not use them? I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of the question. Well, there's a mode in which things can be overlaid here, but I haven't shown that on this tape. So for all practical purposes, it's one color per point or one image per point. I did pretty much everything on this one. I wrapped some wires, I did all the design, I wrote the software, and I'm doing the demo. Now, what that was, if you didn't follow that sequence, was I painted with transparent paint some holes in the side of the box. And then I put a copy of that box down over the apple or whatever that is that's drawn. Transparent is a color like any other color. In fact, at the far right of the palette, there seems to be an all-white circle or a bite taken out of the next circle, but really that's the color transparent. Up above where my cursor is now, there are three slider scales, only two of which happen to be on the screen at the moment. And those three represent the hue, the saturation, and the brightness, respectively, of the selected color, namely the green down below. So if I'm moving the brightness axis now, the brightness slider, and you can see the greens down below in the palette and in the paintbrushes changing their value or their brightness. And similarly, the middle scale I'm moving now is the chroma or the saturation, that is the amount of white, the paleness of the selected color. And the top one, which you just barely see on the screen, is the hue or the fundamental wavelength of the color. So as you run down the scale, you're going down the spectrum or around the color circle, if you will. So I can set any of those colors to any value. And of course, everything I've painted with that particular color number has then changed too, because it's just the definition in a table somewhere that's being changed. It also means that it's possible to interpret a picture in a color space which was created for some other picture, which was created in some other way, and vice versa. The color definitions are separate from the pictorial information, if you wish. I didn't show it here, but the effect of changing the color transparent, that is changing the color of the color transparent, is to change the background. You can also file things on disk and bring them back as a little soldier that happened to be sitting out there. The soldier was painted several years before this demo was taped, and of course, because it's stored digitally, there's no degradation through many, many copies or years or whatever. Sorry? It's also possible, of course, to select a color definition from a picture that you've previously been working on so that you can come back a month from now and say, I want the same brown that I used in the trunk of the tree, and get it precisely. You can do some scale changes, and in this case, very simple factor of two shrinking of the image.
Shape or picture shrunk this way.
Currently, the system has not being developed. It's pretty much being used for demos occasionally, and I haven't been working on it for a year or two, really, because we're going on to the next one. Been anxious to get on to the next one, for which this is kind of a warm-up. In any case, you can move images around, change their size, change their color, and do things that you've seen here. And we also had at one time a video disc, which was used for single frame recording, and that's how this animation was done, by writing out one frame at a time on the video disc and then playing it back. This was done by Alvie Ray Smith, who some of you may know is now at New York Tech doing animation for its own sake, digitally. There's a few more examples on the end here. This was done by Eric Martin, who used to teach animation at Harvard and is a filmmaker and animator. He's had little experience with computers and sat down and did this in about half an hour, 45 minutes. A lot of character to the ball there. Here's a very abstract sort of thing done by a fellow named Fritz Fischer. Fritz has a degree in mathematics and a master's in computer science, and took a job as a night guard at our building in order to work on the system at night. No. Here's another one by Alvie Smith. This is the Walk Anything program. Takes a set of legs and a cycle for them, and kind of walks anything. Here's a sequence of animations that was traced right out of Preston Blair's 1949 booklet on how to do animation. Just traced right off the page. Let's see if I can get the sound on the next sequence, because it's part of a larger tape. I got the switch down, but it seems to be playing both. Here's some more color change animation, where the picture itself is held constant, but the colors of the picture are changed from black to a variety of colors. Flowers together. This too was by Alvie Ray Smith. Turn it off, thanks. That was from a tape that's called VidBits by Alvie Smith. And here are a few credits that I did on the system for one of these tapes. Those took maybe 15 minutes apiece, including the drop shadow. The Xerox logo I got by pointing a TV camera at a piece of letterhead, getting it into the system, coloring it, getting it to be the right size, cleaning up, and so forth, positioning it, and putting the jazz around it there. And that's kind of it, to give you a feel for what the system can do. We could take a couple of questions, I guess, if there are any. What is the next system? Well, it's called Aurora, and this was a warm-up. It's about all I can say right now. It should be fun. See, I may be able to show a little at SIGGRAPH in San Jose in July, if I'm lucky. in July, the SIGGRAPH, ACM SIGGRAPH conference in San Jose. Yes. 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 That's a favorite for electronic image guys, along with Terry Riley's Rainbow and Curved Air and a couple other things.
Future, I realize the equipment that's being used at Xerox isn't exactly the kind that everyone here has in his or her backyard, but what the equipment that you're using may do is inspire people here to develop their own systems. Most people here probably watch TV, and whether they're aware of it or not, a lot of what we've been talking about so far appears fairly often on television. It might be in the form of TV commercials or different kind of logos. And the company that's responsible for doing a lot of that is represented by our next speaker, Terry Craig of ImageWest. ImageWest, where Terry is a production manager, is one of the leaders in video graphics animation. It's been in Hollywood for 2 years and it's done work for CBS, NBC, ABC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, numerous TV stations and ad agencies throughout the world, and has also done special effects for such films as Logan's Run, The Demon's Seed, and the soon-to-be-released Star Wars. Terry Craig, you're on.
Okay. Thank you. Would the projection person come forward and get my film? If there is a projection person. I also have it on videotape, but I like to see it big. And this is one of the few opportunities I get to have a screen this size. Well, okay. I thank you. While he's setting that up, I'd like to say a few words about the commercial application of this, because obviously America's never a country to let anything go by without making a buck out of it, and that's really what we're in the business of doing. We have two Scanimate animation machines. Those of you who are here for Mr. Etra's discussion, Bill Etra's discussion on his machine, the Rutt Etra synthesizer, what we've got is a bigger version of that. And essentially, it is an analog machine. It is a double scan system. We take a video input, and by patching together various voltage packages, primarily oscillators, we manipulate the video output. We bend it, separate it into multiple images, move it around the screen in various ways, as you saw in his tape, and then shoot that with a standard NTSC 525 line regular TV camera, and take the output of that and colorize it because we work in black and white. So what we start with generally is a film negative on a light box being looked at by high resolution TV camera, 945 line. We then manipulate, bend, twist that image by varying the voltages on the display tube. And that result is then looked at by the NTSC camera or by a film camera. The system is designed to accept a film camera and to run at a 24 frame per second rate. We don't do that very often, primarily because most of our clients are interested in a video final product, and but we do it occasionally for film supers. We did it for the movie Logan's Run. I don't know if anyone here has seen that film. There's a couple of nice special effects, and the one we did was a carousel sequence in which a force field comes down from the ceiling and up from the floor, and it lifts a bunch of people up who are blown to bits. It's, I don't know. Anyway, the way we did it, we created the images on the computer as black and white film mats, and MGM took them back to the laboratory and softened them out and combined them with an optical printer into the main sequence in which the people were flown from wires you couldn't see it. how they were being raised, but the appearance was that the force field had lifted them up into the air. We've also done work for Demon Seed, which is now released, and there's a sequence in there, you know, sort of a 2001 sequence in which there's a kind of time tunnel effect. That was done on video to allow for sort of subtle shadings of color, and then transferred to film at Image Transform, which is probably the only place in the world that can decently transfer videotape to film. And we also have done a sequence for the movie Star Wars, which should be really quite nice. I hope it's going to be nice. I've been waiting for a decent science fiction film for a long time. And it's, hey, okay. It's being directed by George Lucas, who did, thank you, American Graffiti. I have a very short memory, about 2 bits worth, that's it. And I know the people who are doing some of the special effects, and it looks like it's going to be a good space opera type movie, and I'm really hoping that it will satisfy a real need in Hollywood. Anyway, we did a sequence in there of a sort of a war board. The basic plot is there's this planet. It's a artificially constructed planet, which is a huge spaceship, and they're being attacked by, I guess, just about everybody. And they have a war room, and there's a board behind it, and there's some symbols indicating an attack or something of this nature. And we did it squished 2:1 so that they could take it and then optically expand it out into the CinemaScope process. And we're getting more into this area, which is nice because it's a lot more interesting than doing television commercials. What we have now is sort of a phase one system. The future is going to digital. It's getting away from analog. And there are machines on the market now, and some of them will be out with, some more will be out within a year, which take the video frame, the full color video frame, and move it around in various ways. They can either pan it across the screen back and forth. They can zoom it to a point up and back. And some of them can zoom it out, that is, make it larger than it is originally. So it looks like a camera zoom into a particular point in the frame. Actually, they're doubling the lines and doubling the image bits. And they accomplish this by using a digital frame store, which digitizes the video and stores it frame by frame. This allows them to eliminate pieces of the picture or to double them. They just double the lines or double the discrete elements on each line. And also, in this way, they can position any point in the picture at any point on the screen. You're going to see a lot of this with ABC Sports, NBC Sports, and so on to magnify particular items. You know, if they see somebody makes a spectacular catch in a football game, they'll be actually able to take that video, not just slow it down as they can now with a slow-mo machine, but actually zoom into the particular individual so you can get a better view of what's going on. There is more and more interest among advertisers, television stations, and so on in the creation of spectacular graphic effects. This means that there's more and more pressure on the industry to create machinery which will accomplish that, and it also, there is more and more interest in work that people like myself, that is Image West, and Dolphin Productions in New York, which has the same machinery, Jenna Graphics, and various other companies that are approaching the commercial field. The big advantage we have over, say, a frame-by-frame, conventional-type film animation house is that we work in real time. The customer comes in, sits down, and watches his commercial being built in front of his very eyes, exactly the way he's going to see it in the finished product. This is a real advantage. It also allows us to crank out a 60-second commercial in a day, as opposed to 2 to 3 or 4 weeks or whatever if you're going to work in film. It also deals with the advertising business, which is a panic, last-minute, immediate change industry, which really often comes to us as I hate to say a last resort, but because they've got to have this commercial on the air in 2 weeks, and there's no way they're going to make it any other way. It also allows us to do things like live animation on television, which we've done so far only for the Grammy Awards. We've done it 2 years in succession. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It hasn't always been the best use of our system, but it is interesting that as they announce the various people in each category, we can animate out their pictures, or we can animate out their names, or whatever, on the air. And we do this by having a microwave feed from our place to the video truck outside the place that they're doing the show. And we have a PL connected, and the director calls for a particular effect, and we click a switch, and out comes the effect, and they key it over the video. There are so many applications possible in a commercial area. What you do is you do what you're asked to do. Unlike most of the effects you've seen so far, which are experimental in nature and are done under grants or as part of an ongoing program to a finished product, a certain machine, we operate in a commercial marketplace under an impetus from somebody who comes in and say, I want to do this effect, I've got so much money to spend, what can you do? And so we're constantly expanding our capabilities, getting into new areas simply because somebody wants to lay some money on the line, and we want it, so we try to do it. And hopefully within the next year, we will be combining the Scanimate system, which is the analog system, with digital positioning devices, which will give us the opportunity to do some really beautiful things, a la Bob Abel. Probably most of you don't know who Bob Abel is, but most of us have seen the 7-Up commercials and are aware of the kind of spectacular visual effects that can be created. Hopefully also, we can start to move into the educational area, where we can start to describe effects that can really best be described on film or tape, better than demonstrations or a guy in a white coat with a pointer and that kind of stuff that's very boring. We can really get into describing activities that animation is really best at. So if the film is ready, I'd like to show you an example of what we do in the straight commercial area. And hopefully we will be able to expand this farther into films and into perhaps feature-length films. There's been some talk of that. It's definitely short subjects and also educational work. So if you roll the projector. Was transferred in Image Transform. Video work.
Creativity in electronic animation.
This is an example of a storyboard. All animation is done from storyboards. They're just a series of pictures that indicate how the action is going to proceed on the screen. They never correspond exactly to the finished product, but they
Image
at least
West,
give you a starting point to work from.
The most modern electronic animation production facility
this
there is.
This is a Scanimate machine. This is a bigger Red Echo synthesizer.
Any production is only as good as the creative idea.
You'll have
and
to
only
excuse the little plug
the
here, but we send this
Our
out to
can create and produce
advertising
an
agencies, etc.
Here is some of the work we've done.
This is the size of our staff.
Double thunder.
So it's not a very big house.
A grueling 200-mile championship race. Plus 200 miles of stock car racing. Datsun Twin 200. March 6th at Ontario Motor Speedway.
Well, the effects are created at 945 line and then viewed at 525 line.
And a very special pace
on videotape,
Datsun Twin 200. $2 discount coupons at participating Datsun dealers.
This is the 77 Plymouth Arrow.
Now, the only thing in this is just a little bouncing ball, or bouncing heart in this case.
Love at first sight. Under $3,400 excluding
taxes and destination
charges. We do
a lot of just simple graphic effects. Now, these people came to us. This was a panic situation where they had to be on the air on January 1st, and they were in our house at, like, December 21st. And there was no way that they were going to get this done in that amount of time. So there are a number of things here where you see, well, this is all shot on film ahead of time. And we add the effects. They actually shot a neon piece for this, which was too bad because we make great neon on the computer, but they didn't know that.
So turn off the lights you're not using and leave energy waste in the dark.
Now, this is a spot that you would have a very hard time duplicating with conventional animation, and only somebody who's very aware of the techniques would know that this was done on a computer. Computer graphics sort of got a bad name when it first started because everything looked like little sparkles or what we call spaghetti, lots of lesser Jew pattern type figures, and people said, oh, ugh, you know. So we have gotten very far away from that now. This is a process of taking live video and colorizing it. We put it to our computer, and it strips the color off it, and we simply insert color back into it by gray level. We call the process posterization. There's another technique we use, which is called step printing. It's basically a film technique of taking one move and laying it down as one pass on a videotape and playing that as a background and making the same move just a few seconds later. And it allows you to bring images like these leaves, which is essentially one leaf, and just run it through again and again, giving you a pattern of multiple images. Where we, to save money, they shot this lady against a black background.
Here's our latest big
and we provided what those
color.
Lights Touch are called chase lights. Instead of having to go out and build them, they just, we just did them on the computer and they superimposed her over the background. Now this is total computer animation. This was done for Carta Blanca Beer. Shown in movie theaters in Mexico as well as on television. This is unusual in the sense that we post-produced the audio on this particular item. Normally, they send us an audio track to begin with, and we animate to the video frame to the audio track.
Una transmisión espectacular de su cerveza Carta Blanca, exquisita.
And who can forget? This is a combination of a camera card, which is the picture here that was actually drawn, and a camera move on the card, and video keying through the card to a background created on the computer. And then we zoom back and then dissolve through the camera card, zoom out again. So it's a combination of moves on live video with computers.
brightest idea in color TV, Blackstripe. It's Toshiba's idea. Blackstripe is our
As you'll notice, we have a few effects that we put on our reel, and everybody says, gee, that's a great effect. So what happens is we end up doing an awful lot of chase lights,
absolutely beautiful pictures,
stars, here's another one coming up,
so you can easily keep
and,
your picture beautiful with
eventually
one touch of this automatic
we'll come up with another effect
button.
We have to we'll put that on the reel and
see
then that'll
bright idea
be our latest
is.
Effect
Toshiba,
for the next
in touch with tomorrow to give you pleasure
3 or 4
today.
Months we do some experimenting on our own, but we don't we do stuff for educational things. We don't do anything for free.
Ronco presents The Sound Explosion, a dynamite album of 20 super rock and disco hits.
Now,
with Silver
this is
Convention.
This is where we do some of our experimentation. These are these top 40 radio record spots actually have sort of changed the genre. Anybody who watches movies on Saturdays or something and has you know, these wall-to-wall
Sadaka,
will notice that,
that
we were the first to really do effects like this. And all of a sudden, I start to see them now more and more like that from other companies.
Frankie Valli. Sound Explosion, suggested list $4.99.
One of the funny things is that the director who designs these looks a lot like Barry Manilow. He's got a big nose, and one of the clients came in and saw this spot and said, boy, that sure is a funny looking guy. And Joe just said, yeah, he's sort of funny looking. This is a there's an example in here of using a digital frame synchronizer to create four full color images or two color images. Here, these are four separate color pictures that have been shrunk to quarter size and then edited onto the same piece of video tape.
Monday, January 31st, the 4th Annual American Music Awards. Hosting this year's
this
special
is just taking
will be Glenn
a,
Gamble.
A black and white
and
photograph and colorizing it,
the nominees,
and throwing it into multiple images with an oscillator.
Of popular music.
And then animating
the award,
it back to its original
based
position.
Based on a nationwide poll of you, the record-buying public. Monday, January 31st, the American Music Awards. The tradition continues.
One of the limitations of this system is essentially it deals with flat artwork. We can, in one single case, we can create a globe effect out of a flat piece of art, but we cannot show you the hidden side of an object. Therefore, if you have just a flat box, we cannot turn the box around and reveal the back side of it or the side of that particular box. Well, there are a number of companies, John Whitney Jr. is involved with one of them, which creates video digitally, and it actually creates
some
a mathematical description of a three-dimensional object, which it can turn around in any particular direction it wishes.
May be submitted by you, or you may request that Image West's creative department.
This is not something our machine is capable of. And it would be a whole new direction for our company to get into this area.
We pride ourselves on being a creative production house.
Where we're probably going to be more, we're probably going to stay with the flat art approach, but involve more with the manipulation of full color video images through digital frame storage devices. I certainly would like to. I have yet to see actually a three-dimensional image, a digitally created three-dimensional image that is pleasing, that is. It looks sort of like what Walt Disney, you know, looks like, but it doesn't quite make it. And it's a very cold, electronic kind of image. And that, I think, is a matter of time and technology to sort of get around that. But at the present time, it's not an image that we could apply very well to the kind of thing we do, although I know John Whitney is involved in the creation of logos for companies and so on, and I haven't seen his latest work, but the stuff I saw a year ago just wouldn't apply to the kind of clients that we have. And as I say, we're a company whose directions are pretty much circumscribed by the market, which is okay, and it's also too bad. I can go into a brief discussion of Scanimate if anyone is interested, although I know time is of the essence. I would like to say one last thing. ImageWest is looking for a maintenance engineer and computer animator. And if there's anyone in the audience who is interested in sort of getting in to the commercial field and has a good solid background in electronic maintenance, you can see me afterward. Thank you. Oh.